Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. Andrew Colvin in for Charlie Kirk. We have Jordan Harmon from Angel Studios talking about Cabrini and how they're remaking Hollywood and just in the nick of time. Not a moment too soon, as they say. Hollywood's really off course. It's unfortunate. Films like Cabrini are helping bring it back. And then we talked to Representative Barry Loudermilk from Georgia. He is deconstructing the J6 sham committee. He's got some bombshell findings. We talked to him exclusively about that. You're not going to want to miss this. So much to get to. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
I am very excited about this conversation with Jordan Harmon, who is the co-founder of Angel Studios and filmmaker of the new film Cabrini, which is in theaters right now. Jordan, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, love this film, love the project, love Angel Studios. You know, we've gotten a chance to talk behind the scenes, actually, at some various events, and what you guys are doing is phenomenal. People don't know this about me. My background, I used to work in Hollywood, and so I've seen this industry up close and personal. And so, you know, I'm always trying to explain to Charlie just how revolutionary the project that you guys are working on is, and the model that you guys have built really is. But let's start with the film, and then I'll get into the model at Angel Studios. The Cabrini, how's it going? How do people see it? What are the reviews? What are the reactions from the fans? Tell us everything.
Man, this particular film is got a special place in our heart because it is elevating Angel to a level of artistry that we've never done before. It is one of the most beautiful films you'll ever see. The reviews, I'll be honest, I'm surprised the reviews from critics are even positive, and that's just because they never give us positive reviews, but they right. are even liking this film. So it's getting 91% from critics, 98% from audiences. It's one of the highest film rated films of the year. From audiences, is the highest rated wide release of the year. And it opened up just 10 days ago. It's coming up on 15, 16 million in the box office, and it's running strong. You can go to angel.com/Charlie or Kirk.
Charlie.
I can't remember which one. I think it's Charlie. Angel.com/Charlie to get your tickets. And this particular film is so important for the world because it is literally addressing so many of the things that we are dealing with today. And it's very powerful.
It's funny you mentioned the reviews because I was actually looking at Roger Ebert in the break. played with, you know, Francesca Cabrini played with quiet command by convincing Cristiana Del Anna. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Faces and at long last wins over until then villainous and sabotaging New York mayor played by John Lithgow, who's obviously a phenomenal actor, who finally agrees to support her mission. And then Lithgow looks over at Cabrini and says, you know, it's too bad you're not a man. You would have been an excellent man. He says cluelessly. In response, Cabrini simply and correctly reminds him that a man could never do what she and her sisters do, which I thought was, I mean, reading this from Roger Ebert is like, you know, I was like, wow, okay, great. It's pretty amazing. Like, it's a very
there's a deeper review. Message in there, though, when you think about it, because the reality is we're in this really confused world where, you know, the youth coming up are completely confused about gender and all these different things, and that, you know, people are fighting left and right. And we're not just looking at our unique qualities as people. Like my wife, she does things that I can never do. I can't ever have babies. I can't ever nurse our children. But I have things and gifts that I can do.
Watch it, Jordan. You're getting controversial here now.
Oh, man, sorry. But that being said, but she has gifts that I can never achieve, and I have gifts that but they're complementary. And so this movie is such a beautiful film because it speaks to so many aspects of the world today, but it does it in a way that it's not pushing the message first. It's just a great story. It's an incredible story. It's extremely beautiful. Dr. Jordan Peterson posted on X yesterday because he had seen the film, and he just said, "This is an incredible story. It's a cinematic masterpiece." And he said, "It's, you know, I love seeing a film that's not just jamming the message down my throat," as the critical drinker says a lot of times on YouTube. And so it's one of those things where we're very grateful for all the support, and it's such an important film to get out into the world.
Well, and a lot of people, you know, it's funny, we had you on before to talk about this, but a lot of people that aren't Catholic don't know the story of Cabrini. I mean, she was an Italian Catholic missionary nun. I'm reading from Roger Ebert again here, who not only founded a peerless orphanage in New York at the turn of the 20th century and gave her name to Hudson Heights Serene Cabrini Boulevard in Manhattan, but also resolutely built a worldwide network of charitable organizations and homes in the decades that followed. And then she became a saint, right? I mean, Catholics know her as Mother Cabrini. Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, she's a Canaanite saint. But yes. she's really an entrepreneur. Like, in all intents and purposes, this feels like an entrepreneur's film in that, like, she goes and she starts the hospital system. Not the one we see today that's a little bit more crony capitalism where the government's coming into every piece of it, but a system where she wanted to basically have all the wealthy people be serviced on the top, and then they would take some of the profits to supply and help some of the less fortunate people. But it was in a way that was privatized, and she didn't wait for government to come solve her problems. She just went out and got it done. And so it's a film that truly is absolutely remarkable and so applicable today.
Yeah, and I want to play a cut here from it just because I feel like, you know, you got to get a flavor for it, just like you said, how beautiful the film is. Let's go ahead and play cut 95.
Shall we begin? My sisters, if we are to build an empire of hope, we must first conquer New York.
Open your eyes.
I'm not in New York!
This is who we've come to serve.
This is not a place for you.
In that case, I should not do my job.
You have swatted the hornet's nest.
This is about the kind of New York we want.
The world is too small for what I intend to do.
All right, and now
gives me chills every time.
Yeah, I was going to say, you get the sense of just how beautiful the film is. Now, one's a quick question, then I'm going to ask you a larger question about the model you guys have built. First of all, for the people who don't know, what other projects have you guys been affiliated with? Because our audience will then be like, oh my gosh, it's the same people.
Oh yeah. So obviously, you know, Angel Studios, our mission is to tell stories that amplify light. We started with Dry Bar Comedy, which is now the largest library of stand-up comedy in the world. Then we went on to our first original series called The Chosen, which, you know, is now being seen by over 100 million people around the globe. We had a breakout success in theaters with His Only Son, and then Sound of Freedom, which was last year a huge blockbuster surprise, thanks to, you know, people like you, your viewers, and then, you know, we've got Cabrini that's coming out, and so there's many projects that are not just on the Angel app and on angel.com that you can go watch and actually consume right now, but there's dozens that are in the works that we haven't even announced yet, and it's very, very exciting.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so, you know, I worked in Hollywood, and it was just kind of known that 80 to 85% of projects were going to fail. So the model is completely broken. Essentially, if you're an investor into entertainment, you're 80 to 85% certain to lose your money, right? So it's a really challenging system that is controlled by a small few in what we call development. So they're the ones that read the scripts, they sort of grade the scripts, and they go up through the ranks of like the staff, the junior staff to the senior staff. And then eventually maybe it gets to the decision maker that can write checks. And if that script makes it all the way through, maybe you have a chance of getting that script made. But it's basically on the opinion of one or two or three people. Then once the film starts to get made, it gets made by committee. So, you know, you've got studio execs that are constantly hamstringing the directors and the actors and the people with actual vision and creative artistry. And what you get is modern Hollywood, where you get this hodgepodge of confusing choices, of lack of artistry, lack of vision. We miss old Hollywood. The model has been broken. And so that's our little tease here, Jordan. And then I'm going to explain, and you're going to explain, how you guys have flipped the script quite literally to make sure that your success rate is just unfathomable in today's Hollywood environment.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Now that we are launching into a general election season, Patriot Mobile wants to celebrate with a special offer, just in case you haven't made the switch yet. Until March 31st, you can get a free month of service when you switch to Patriot Mobile. All you need is to stop procrastinating and go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie and use offer code SPRING24. That's it. It's that easy. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which gives you incredible coverage without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message, just like we all did on Super Tuesday, that you support free speech, religious liberty, sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. So get your free month of service today at patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Get a free month of service when you use offer code SPRING24. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Amazing folks. Check it out. patriotmobile.com/Charlie.
Jordan, so you guys have flipped the model of Hollywood where a small select group of people get to make all the decisions. It's their taste, their interests, their creativity for the rest of us. And this is why Hollywood has turned out just flop after flop after flop. You guys literally only make successful films and TV shows. It's really incredible. So tell us about the Angel Studio model and the guild, because people listening right now need to join the guild, because you can be part of this decision-making process. Jordan, the floor is yours.
Yeah, it's an incredibly interesting thing that we kind of stumbled into. We're obviously, you know, big believers in democracy and our democratic republic that we live in. But we're also big believers in that there's a wisdom in the crowds. There's actually a book called The Wisdom of Crowds, where it talks about how the community, when given the right sandbox and environment, can actually make better decisions than any executive. And so Hollywood doesn't really actually have a talent problem. They have the best storytellers in the world. They have a gatekeeper problem. And what we mean by that is there's a select few of Hollywood executives who make all the decisions around that entire town and what content and film and TV comes into the world. And they believe they know what's best for you, for me. They're smarter than any of us. And we've decided it's important that we, as executives and founders of Angel, that we don't have the same hubris as they do, or try not to, because we probably make just as bad of decisions, but in other ways. And so we've turned over the gatekeeper keys to the audience. It's what we call the Angel Guild. It's the investors in The Chosen and in Dry Bar and Tuttle Twins and any one of our TV shows and our films, as well as the people who are coming in and they're joining, becoming Angel Guild members. It's like a Prime membership. You get 2 free complimentary tickets to every Angel theatrical release. You get early access to our content on our app. You get discounts on merchandise. So there's all these benefits of it. But more importantly, you get to see shows and films like Sound of Freedom or Cabrini before they ever come out into the public, and you get a vote and decide whether Angel gets to release that or not. No matter how much I love a project, as a founder of Angel Studios, I have no ability to greenlight something or get it into the world until the Angel Guild gives us the thumbs up first. And so that's a very important part of our model, and it's working. It's working extremely well. In 2023, we had 4 theatrical releases, and all 4 have either paid back their investors a return on their investment, or on pace to do so with their revenues from theatrical releases, DVDs, all the different things that we're doing.
Yep.
And this is a testament to the audience knowing what they want. They know what they want to see. They know what stories are important to them. So, and our mission is to tell those stories to amplify light.
So to put it another way, Hollywood has an 85% failure rate. And in 2023, you guys had 100% success rate. That's how dramatic.
We're not going to be 100% successful forever. No. But.
Forever. Yeah, I get it. But in 30 seconds, Jordan, tell us, so how do people join the guild? How much does it cost? Like, give them some marching orders right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Angel.com/Charlie. You can join the guild. Go there. When you join the guild, you're going to pay $20 a month. This is probably one of the most important $20 a month you'll ever spend, because it actually allows you to influence culture. And that money goes towards, again, more content, like the content you're loving. It allows for us to continue to get more and more content. It's so powerful.
Hey, this is Charlie Kirk, and I know a lot of you have been suffering under the Biden economy. Recently, school loan payments have been reinstated, and for many, it's adding thousands to their monthly expenses. My friends, Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, they're amazing. They really helped me through a tough, tough situation recently. They've been excellent. They're ethical. They're just really great people. They're followers of Jesus Christ, and our worldviews are the same. I love them. And so please go to andrewandtodd.com. Interest rates are coming down, and they may be able to lower your overall payment. In fact, one of our team members said, Charlie, is it time to me to own a home? I sat down, I went through the numbers, I said, get in the owner game. Honestly, enough renting. You are burning your money renting. It might be a little bit more to own, but you're building equity. That's money you'll have for the rest of your life. Perhaps a reverse mortgage is a perfect solution. It's about expertise you could trust in times like this. I can't tell you how helpful they've been for me personally. They've just been excellent. Andrew and Todd, I'm honored to call them friends. We hang out when I go to Orange County together. They're really great. So say, Charlie sent me, 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. They helped me through a mortgage situation recently that was super complex and moving pieces, and it was really, really tough. And other banks, by the way, wanted nothing to do with it, and they crushed it for me. 10 out of 10. AndrewandTodd.com. So check it out right now, AndrewandTodd.com.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation with Representative Barry Loudermilk from Georgia's 11th. Loudermilk is also the chairman of the House Administration Subcommittee on Oversight. It's a mouthful, but what they are doing is extremely important. They're conducting a follow-up inquiry into the J6 committee since Republicans took over the House. Rep. Loudermilk, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Well, Andrew, it's good to be with you today.
Yeah, honored to have you here. So you guys released your find. You've been working on this basically since Republicans took over the House.
Right.
It's been a quiet investigation in some ways. And then, boom, some massive revelations were leveled against the J6 committee led by Liz Cheney and Thompson, Reps Thompson and Cheney. So sum it up. I mean, I've got a series of questions for you. But in broader terms, what did you guys find when you looked back at what the J6 committee did?
Well, let me first say that when I was asked to chair this committee, my only requirement was that we get to the truth, not a preconceived narrative or just to counter the January 6th, but seek the truth. And whatever the truth was, we would report on it. So we did spend the first year pretty much working in the shadows. And some people were upset about that. But the reason that we were doing this is, you know, if you're conducting an investigation and you conduct that investigation in the press, you're not going to get anywhere, right? So we wanted to do an independent investigation, which we did for a year. We released some findings, but a couple of weeks ago, we released our interim report. And I think the report speaks for itself. But what, in summary, the report shows is that the Select Committee of January 6th, Pelosi's committee, handpicked committee, by the way, had a predetermined narrative that they wanted to sell to the American people. And everything that they did and all the information that they released was designed to support that narrative, even to the extent of suppressing any exculpatory evidence that was contrary to the preconceived narrative that they had, that Donald Trump was the impetus behind the January 6th attacks on the Capitol, that he somehow coordinated it, he was behind it, and he even held back National Guard from assisting. And any evidence that the Select Committee uncovered that was contrary to that narrative, they suppressed that evidence. And so our report released all of the evidence. And quickly, even some of the mainstream media are seeing that this entire Select Committee was a setup to disparage Donald Trump, to legislatively prosecute him, Good example. The select committee, one of their taskings, according to the legislation that created the committee, was to look at the security failures of the Capitol on January 6th, regardless of who it was that got into the Capitol. How did they get in? They should have never been able to breach the security of this Capitol with our Capitol Police, with the defense forces that we have here. But they very easily breached the Capitol and got inside. There is virtually nothing about the security breach of the Capitol in the Select Committee's final report. In fact, they had a team that was supposed to be dedicated to investigating the security failure. We cannot even find any documentation that of any evidence that the team did anything. And so when you look at the final report, though, Donald Trump's name is mentioned 1,900 times, but pipe bombs are only mentioned 5. And they're just in passing that there were. So they conducted no investigation into security failures, and all of their focus was on legislatively prosecuting Donald Trump.
I have a couple rapid-fire questions here for you, sure. Representative. Did Donald Trump approve National Guard troops on J6?
Yes, he did. And we saw that early on. In fact, I knew that he did even before the Select Committee was organized, because Vanity Fair, and as you know, Vanity Fair is not a conservative publication. They're pretty far left wing. They had an article that ran like on January the 15th, just a few days after the January 6th incidents. And they reported, as they had a reporter in the Department of Defense at the time, that there was a discussion between Secretary Miller and Donald Trump where he had told them that they needed to get ready 10,000 troops of the National Guard. What we released in our report was just one instance of conversations that Trump had a couple of days before January 6th, where he ordered the National Guard to be ready. We even found testimony from others to where he was briefed about the intelligence of potential threats against the Capitol a few days before January 6th. And in that meeting, according to the logs that we have, it says POTUS, President of the United States, orders National Guard troops to be ready. So there were many instances of him before January 6th authorizing the National Guard, even authorizing as much as 10,000 troops. They're playing some word games here, because even now some of the former members of the Select Committee are saying he never deployed the troops. That is true. He doesn't have the constitutional authority to deploy the troops to the U.S. Capitol because of separation of powers. They have to be requested. And the chief of police at the time requested them 7 times before they actually got the approval for the troops to come. And still, it took 2 hours after the approval for them to get to the Capitol.
Absolutely. Was it Muriel Bowser or Nancy Pelosi that failed to request the troops?
So both. President Trump offered the mayor of D.C., Bowser, as many troops as she wanted to help because of the intelligence threats that they had received. Or the intelligence of threats. And she only asked for, I think, 300 and something, and did not want them armed, nor in riot gear. Bowser only wanted them as traffic control. Capitol Police, Chief Sun, the chief of Capitol Police at the time, had requested on multiple occasions before January 6th, because of just the size of the crowds that they knew were coming, National Guard backup. We do have evidence that Democrat leadership, at least at the staff level, turned down the request for National Guard. Now, the Capitol Police Board, which is made up of the 2 sergeant-at-arms and the architect of the Capitol, had to approve any request for National Guard at the time. And when Chief Sun requested National Guard on a couple of occasions, the House sergeant-at-arms said, quote, "Let me run this up the chain." And when he came back, he said they don't like the optics. The only person up the chain is the Speaker of the House, which would have been Pelosi. So you can interpret that. And I think it's clear that Pelosi didn't like the optics of requesting the National Guard. National Guard was not approved until there were shots fired in the Capitol. That's what it took to actually get somebody to move after 7 requests.
She didn't like the optics, sir, but she certainly has made great use of the optics that ended up resulting from that day. Not to mention the fact that the J6 committee hired Hollywood producers the contrast between your investigation and the J6 committees could not be more stark. You have been, as we said, sort of operating below the radar for the time being, and then you've released this bombshell report. But, you know, that meanwhile, they've got Hollywood producers doing national broadcasts across network television. It's just striking the difference in how they really do understand optics. So a couple other questions here, Congressman. So did the J6 committee delete files? And if so, how many?
Well, we know that they did. We don't know how many for sure, because we did a forensics on the hard drives that they gave us, because they claim to have given us 4 terabytes of digital data, as well as boxes full of printed documents. So when we received the information that they were supposed to preserve and hand over to us, we started looking through it, because it really wasn't cataloged or organized, to figure out what we had. We realized we didn't have everything. We hired a forensics company to come in and do a low-level scrub of the hard drives they provided us. They found several thousand documents deleted. Now, some of those, you know, when you're working on a computer, you delete documents all the time. You delete emails. A lot of the deleted documents were just digital copies of what we had, or they were a duplicate copy of what we had. But there were over 100 unique documents, of which most of those were password protected. And we have not been able to get into it. It's pretty sophisticated encryption that was used. We've asked the committee, what is the what's the password? And no one seems to know what we're even talking about. But the irony of there were some documents that were not encrypted that we were able to recover. Those were deleted literally 2 days before the Republicans took over the House of Representatives.
And this is a key point. Right before you guys are set to take over, get access to all the files, you're in control, they delete files. Is this a violation of law, and can anybody be held accountable, sir?
Well, that's something that we're going to consider. We still have a lot more investigation to go, but it was definitely a violation of House rules and protocol from the clerk's office. Probably the biggest violation, the most egregious, was the not preserving. I don't want to say delete, because we don't know what happened to him, but they videotaped every interview, every deposition, every transcribed interview. They brought in video cameras and videotaped them. They used some segments of those tapes in their nationally publicized and televised hearings. None of those exist. We were not given any of those, and they admitted to not preserving them. And even Liz Cheney in her book talks about how important it was that they videotaped every interview, but yet they did not preserve those. That is probably the most egregious, and I do think that as well as the sending documents. We did find out they sent documents to the executive branch for keeping. These are House documents. We have since were able to secure some of those, but we still have the Department of Homeland Security is still holding 8 of the documents, which are very critical to this investigation. The committee sent them to the executive branch to maintain, and in my opinion, it was to keep us from having access to them.
Well, Congressman, I hope everybody listening to this is as shocked and appalled and angry as I am just hearing you describe this. This is a massive stonewall effort, and I hope that when you conclude your investigation, that as this gets written in history, that it be one of the biggest propaganda pieces ever committed by the United States government. And, you know, they put Liz Cheney, they put Adam Kinzinger up on there to call it bipartisan. This was a Hollywood production, and what you're finding is truly, truly remarkable. And I know you've got to leave, but thank you for what you're doing. Any final words?
Well, it's just, we're going to get the truth out there and let the American people have complete transparency of what happened. And they have the ability to make the decision. But what we have seen so far is that the committee did evidence.
That's right. Representative Loudermilk, thank you. God bless you. Come back again soon.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. As you know, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They are the best sheets you'll ever sleep on. The best night's sleep just got even better. For a limited time, you'll get a queen-size set of $59.98, king-size for just $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the MyPillow employees continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times. I want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their MyPillow products. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425. Use promo code Kirk. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size for just $59.98 and king size for just $69.98. You also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk.
All right, so just to put a little bow on that conversation with the congressman, who's doing a tremendous job, and he's, you know, I love how underspoken he is and under the radar. He's basically doing what the J6 committee should have done. He's just having to go back and untangle this web that they wove, and that's unfortunate. So, a couple things that we didn't get to is that check this out. Overall, 1 terabyte. Of data has been collected that the J6 committee either deleted or misplaced. That's more than a quarter of all the data collected. A quarter of all the data collected. They've had to find. They've had to dig through various communication chains and find it either at the executive branch or elsewhere. And then there's this point about Cassidy Hutchinson. So this was, if you remember, the big bombshell report, and everybody took it and ran, that Trump lunged at the Secret Service and tried to get out and march with the J6ers and tried to grab the wheel of the motorcade car. And this was actually, what you don't know, was from Hutchinson's heavily revised fourth interview. Yes, there was a fourth interview, meaning there was 3 previous ones. And this is what's truly amazing. So here's one example. First pass, I don't remember hearing about any weapons at the Capitol. Second pass, actually, I definitely remember reports of weapons and Trump knew about it. So she went from not knowing or having any knowledge of reports of weapons at the Capitol to, yes, I remember, and Trump knew. And so Reps Thompson and Cheney promoted Hutchinson's sensational claim as fact and underplayed the fact that she had 3 previous interviews where that was not the way her interview went at all. So if you take it on its face, she completely perjured herself. The J6 committee also hid witness testimony from White House and Secret Service employees with firsthand knowledge that directly contradicted Hutchinson's version of events. So they, in Loudermilk's committee, has basically determined that her testimony was dramatically and drastically changed in order to be as sensational as possible. Another instance, she amended her initial testimony to say that she had overheard that Donald Trump wanted Mike Pence hanged. She probably just invented this out of whole cloth. I mean, this is that dramatic. And here's one final takeaway that I think is dramatic. The select committee colluded with Fannie Willis. So when we talk about how this lawfare assault against Trump is actually a coordinated assault, look no further than the J6 committee. Fannie Willis, Fulton County District Attorney, wrote to the select committee seeking assistance with her prosecution of President Trump. Select committee staff then met with representatives for her office. So that's just, you know, another fascinating thing. And then we already mentioned the pipe bombs. It's mentioned like 5 or 6 times. Donald Trump's name was mentioned 1,900 times in the J6 report. So, you know, if you're if the vice president, future vice president, is almost going to be assassinated by a pipe bomb, you'd think you'd make a bigger story about that, but they haven't. And that's a very, very interesting detail in all of this. Thanks so much for listening. If you love this show, if you get something out of it, if this is a place of refuge in a sea of chaos, please consider joining us as a paying monthly subscriber at members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. You guys are the backbone of this show and this community. Thank you for being a part of it. And if you haven't joined yet, please consider doing so. members.charliekirk.com. We'll talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.